I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning, the start of another summer weekend. Yesterday was a beautiful day. Jerry and I were out at Citi Field for a little bit, watching the Mets and the Giants. The Yankees make sure that they end their losing streak up in Toronto. There's some NBA news out there, other Major League Baseball news, including Dallas Keuchel not choosing the Yankees. We've got more Subway Series tickets to give away and more Belmont Stakes tickets to give away. And the Belmont Stakes tickets will happen in the next 40 minutes or less. So it's going to be a good one today. Jerry, good morning. Of course, Boomer off today. We talked about it yesterday. He's going out to San Diego. He's got a big Boomer Esiason Foundation run out there in San Diego. So it's going to be a big deal. We hope that everything goes well with that. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Gee, what is up? Yeah, he's in San Diego as he's texting us at 10 p.m. last night.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Forgot about the time change.
Yeah, he cannot disconnect sometimes. When he sees a story, he needs
which
us to see. He just sends it, which is nice. But
10 p.m.
Right, right. It's 10 p.m. and he's not even doing a show today.
That's okay. How you doing, all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I had a great day yesterday, man. I got everything. You know, when you wake up at this hour that we wake up and you go to work and then you leave work right away and you've got a full day of stuff, it's amazing what you can cram in. Amazing. Absolutely.
Unlike
amazing.
The rest of the society where they're at work all day and they're commuting. And yeah, you're right. Very lengthy. We also don't sleep.
No, I understand.
Which is part of it.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, I got back last night. I might have gotten 4.5 hours at the most, but I'm feeling good today. But I mean, we go to the Met game after the show. From there, I go home. I take my daughter down to this little park by the bay. We hang out there. We're on the swing set. I go from there. I take the boat out at night. It was a tremendous day.
So every day's a day off. I mean, you really can make that case.
Man, yesterday was one of those days where it was like a real taste of the greatness that is to come over the summer. Like, that's, you got 80-something degrees. It was humid. When we're sitting at Citi Field, we're just soaking up the sun. It felt like the middle of July, right?
Yeah,
didn't it?
No, it did. It absolutely did. It really was. It was a great day.
Yeah, and then the Mets were kind enough to put us in a nice little spot there at the game, so that was nice. So, best seats I've ever had in my life, quite frankly. And a couple home runs right off the bat. But, you know, last night, you know, this was, you don't want to panic about the Yankees at any point, but this losing streak needed to stop. You needed to see them do a couple things last night. One, Jay Happ had to look like a Jay Happ that you saw second half last year and end this losing streak and be the stopper for them. You needed to see that. You definitely needed to see them get back and continue this offensive explosion that they've had, and they were able to do that. And now, you know, you think about some of the injuries and all of the things that we're going to be talking about with which players are coming back. It's going to start with Didi Gregorius tonight. So Tyro Estrada goes down. That's one of the first guys that we're going to say goodbye to after Tauchman and Ford and then Maybin and Morales, and all these guys are going to go. And it's going to be interesting to watch this transition. But, I mean, this was a game that the Yankees needed to win, at least to prevent a little bit of, wow, they're actually going through a swoon. They actually now have a four-game losing streak. They actually got swept by a division opponent, and none of that happened last night. And that was a good sight to see for them.
And it's funny watching, you know, the little things in a baseball game and how they affect it. You know, Edwin Diaz is going along in the second inning. He's got a couple of guys, you know, it's two out, nobody on, and you get what looks like a third out to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and the throw is just wide of the base, and all of a sudden, well, the Yankees have a guy on. Next thing you know, you get DJ LeMahieu with, and I know Boomer has sat here and sung his praises, and rightly so all season, makes all the sense in the world. Did you know he's batting 500 with runners in scoring position?
Yeah, best in baseball by a large margin.
So he comes up, he drives in a run, you get the Aaron Hicks 3-run homer, and you go from, You know, if you're Edwin Diaz, you go from being out of the inning, scoreless going to the bottom of the second, to you look up, it's 4-0.
I know.
And so the little twists and turns of a baseball game, and, you know, you take little things like that for granted. Well, the Yankees took advantage of a big, big mistake. And, yeah, with Hap, the way he was pitching, I would say the only thing, and he's been good of late again, so you don't get nuts about it, but Chad Green can't go out there and load the bases in the last inning. Where you got to bring Chapman in.
And you feel like you're wasting them.
Yeah, and I know the first hit was a bloop over third base. Okay, fine. But then you give up the hard hit and then the line drive. It's like, you know, you had an Ajita-free game up to that point, and, right. You know, you get the double play, and it wasn't a big deal. But other than that, I mean, yeah, it was a win they had to have. They went out, they did it. And as you point out, the rich get richer now with Didi Gregorius coming back.
Right, and you were confusing me there for a second. We said Edwin Diaz. Edwin Jackson.
I'm sorry, Edwin Jackson.
That's fine.
Sorry.
We've used to be talking about Edwin Diaz much. But yeah, no, that was another one of these games for the Yankees. And now Didi coming back, this is interesting because of all the other injuries that the Yankees have sustained this year that we've talked about so much, you almost forget about Didi Gregorius and how long it's been that he's been out, and the postseason last year, and of course the talk of the surgery, and we knew something was wrong with the way that he was throwing the ball and all the stuff that went with that. And I mean, he's coming back, and now you've got your first look at a guy who's been gone for a real extended period of time, working himself back into this Yankee team that's just been cruising. So all the talk about how is it going to be handled, Aaron Boone, there's too many guys, what is he supposed to do? I think this is the first test, and I really don't think it's much of a test, because you know that DJ LeMahieu is going to play. You know that Gleyber Torres is going to play. You know that Gio Urshela is going to find his way into the lineup. So it's not like with the Miguel Andujar injury and it being a season-ending one and Troy Tulowitzki being nowhere to be found. I mean, it's pretty simple to work Didi Gregorius back in. Just a matter of how much rust is there going to be? Is he going to jump right back in and be great? And those are the things that Aaron Boone has to make sure that he mixes and matches and gives a guy enough time to be able to work himself back without hurting the team. So this is the first one of those, and then Judge and Stanton will be after that.
I mean, I think, you know, with the whole infield situation, you basically have four guys for three spots. You have the DH you can play with, and there's no reason why you can't get a day off every week. I think it's actually the perfect situation to have. So, yeah, not much of a test at all. It's just a matter of when you give that guy the day off and who plays when. But, boy, his production up and down in that group, and Didi Gregorius will fit right in. And I think he'll come back like he never left. The Tulowitzki thing is interesting because wasn't he the one? Remember the reference yesterday about one of these rehabbing players? And I don't remember if it was the Mets or the Yankees, where they said they just gave him some time off to take a break.
Yeah.
I think it was Tulowitzki, now that you mention it, where they just wanted to give him some time to clear his head or something. Maybe I got to check that, but he might have been the guy that I was referencing yesterday. It is interesting. Some of these guys get back so quick, and other guys, I didn't realize the Stanton injury, how long that's going on.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
I mean,
course.
It is unreal, especially when you think about, you go back to when it happened, and I know you pointed it out, his comments about, I don't even need the injured list, I can work my way through this. And it's been worse than that because he's gotten hurt in different places.
Yeah, well, that's why it's been so long, right? It's three different things. First, it was the bicep, then it's the shoulder, and then it was a calf after that.
Really crazy.
Yeah, I mean, especially with a guy who's in such good shape. And that when I talk about these muscle pulls and how it just blows my mind, he's the guy I'm always thinking of is Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah. How is it possible for a guy like that, who looks like that, to have this many injuries in all these different places with his muscles? But, yeah, I really think that, you know, it's not going to be a big issue. Now, Dallas Keuchel signed somewhere else. And something, if you want to talk about what could change the Yankees and what could be the biggest factor in them winning a championship or not, it's who they're going to acquire in a trade, because now it's going to be a trade. Who they're going to acquire in a trade if Brian Cashman, I would be shocked if he didn't trade for a starting pitcher, but who it's going to be and who are you giving up? Because Dallas Keuchel was out there, former Cy Young Award winner. Yeah, a lot of people say, hey, he's very similar to Jay Happ. You know, he's another lefty that you throw in that rotation. You got a million of them in Paxton and Happ and CeCe. It's just, you know, on and on. It could be the same type of guy, and maybe he's not that elite level pitcher that he was, and it wouldn't have been that big of a deal to bring him in. However, it was just money. So now, if you have your sights set on Madison Bumgarner, I mean, Madison Bumgarner, even though he has had a little bit of regression, I mean, it's going to take Clint Frazier. It's going to take Esteban Florial. It's going to take other low-level prospects that maybe we're not talking about because they're not as close but are highly regarded in the Yankee system. And that's going to be a really, really tough decision to make, especially when you're banking on a guy, you know, Madison Bumgarner, even though he's not all that old, but to throw back the clock a couple of years to be the great postseason pitcher that he was. So that's now that Keuchel's out of the way and it's not an option and you know the Yankees are going to upgrade, it's who is that going to be and how steep is the price going to be? Because I think Brian Cashman, without a doubt, will upgrade the rotation before the trade deadline.
I'm sure he will, but it's always interesting to me because it's almost as if you get to the trade deadline and teams have to make a move. You have to do this. You have to do that. And I'm sure they will. And if you can upgrade your team, I think that's great. You're still looking at a team with Herman, Happ, and Paxton. Just to start, You're doing all right.
Yeah, but Herman's got that innings limit, right?
I understand, but to me, that changes when you get to the playoffs, I would think. I could be wrong, but I would think. We've seen it before with Strasburg, and I get that. But it's not like this team is in dire need of starting pitching right now. In need, sure. And I think everybody would like to upgrade themselves, and they could have perhaps upgraded themselves if Dallas Keuchel is anything like what he's been in the past. He was good last year, was not great last year. And I think some of the quote-unquote experts would tell you maybe on the slight decline. So you don't get Keuchel, fair enough. You can make a move for Bumgarner. Poops and giggles.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get a dominant starting pitcher. Is that going to derail them from? You look at what this team's done already and what they have coming back. They've got good starting pitching here.
Sure.
So maybe do they not have five of them? Okay, fair enough. You get to the playoffs, you need four of them.
Well, here's what I think. I think if they don't upgrade the rotation, the Astros are going to be the favorites to come out of the American League. If they do, I think the Yankees vault to being the favorite in the American League. I think that's probably the biggest difference to me between the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Astros in the two series that they lost the last 2 years in the playoffs was dominant starting pitching more than anything else.
The Red Sox were on a magical run last year too, though.
Okay,
I mean they were.
Yeah, I know, and they were a great team. And the Astros were on a magical run the year before. But I mean, there's enough like magical runs that you have in you that you get a little bit frustrated, and you want to have one of your own.
I just think I look at these three, you know, specifically with the way they've pitched in the past and what they're capable of and what you expect of them.
Yeah,
they're good. Like it's not like to me that I don't think the disparity is huge. Where the gap is huge between the top three right now when you look around the league. I mean, you know, yes, you can improve yourself. My point is, if they don't end up with one of these top guys, whoever's going to be available, to me, you don't just shut it down and say, well, we can't win this year.
No, I don't think anybody would do that. It's just that with the frustration of losing in the ALCS and then losing to the Red Sox the year after that, after losing to the Astros a couple years ago, now, you want to make sure that you go into the postseason with your starting rotation as strong as it can
absolutely
possibly be. And I feel like they're missing one big acquisition to say that team's a monster, you know? And I think if you think about it, I don't think that Max Scherzer is going to get traded, not so much because the Nationals don't want to trade him. It's just this deferred money that he's gotten, all this money down the road, and even if you pay it sooner, it's an astronomical amount of dollars for Max Scherzer. And then the Yankees, I know they're conscious of that luxury tax, and that'll put them right over it. And a guy like Madison Bumgarner too, he's probably going to want a contract extension.
Probably.
I mean, he's not going to, you're going to trade me to the Yankees and I'm just going to be pitching on, you know, the no trade clause thing we've talked about is smart in a couple ways. One, there's a no trade clause kicker in his contract where he actually gets money if he waives it. So he's got that. And also he can now pick which winning team he wants to go to. And then also pit them against each other and say, out of the two of yous, as we would say in this area, out of the two of yous, whoever gives me the contract extension is the place I'm going to go to. And a desperate team at the deadline is going to be like, well, hell, let's do it because we want to win a championship. And it's Madison Bumgarner, for crying out loud. He's got to have something in there. And all of a sudden, you've got this big contract on the books.
Very well thought out and constructed by his agent.
Yes.
Protects him.
Right.
And his interests.
Right. So, I mean, that and also, there's only one trade deadline this year.
Yep,
only
which one. I love. I'm glad they got rid of that stupid non-waiver one.
Yeah, July.
That's good.
July is going to be crazy, man. You're going to have the NBA free agency at the very beginning, June 30th, July 1st, and then one trade deadline in baseball. It's going to be nuts.
Which is what it should be.
Absolutely. No, I agree, because then it's always, oh, the trade deadline came and went, nobody did anything. And then it's like,
you're in August, they're making moves all over the place.
I know, I'll just wait a month.
Right.
You know, there'll be something else there. But this Brian Cashman construction of a season has been so great to this point. But he's got one more move.
Yeah, I suppose.
That he's got to get right.
Hey, he can definitely go out and make a move for sure. I just think with what he's done so far, this seems really good. You know, even watching him last night, and you're looking up and down the lineup. And again, what's not there that's coming back, man, they are loaded. And particularly because the younger players have played well, maybe sooner than some thought. And then you got these, you know, Aaron Hicks. I mean, you talk about a hell of a move to grab him when they did, and what he's done, and he's healthy, and, you know, that was a laser that he hit last night.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's a good team, and, you know, we've said in the past sometimes we don't talk enough Yankees because it's boring, because they win, and the Yankee season really does start in October, and that's what it feels like, you know, because they're in the playoffs every single year. This group, though, really has been fun to watch because it's been different. They had a lot of home runs, sure, but they also hit the ball, and they do different things in different spots, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, it reminds you of 2017 more than it does last year.
I agree.
Year, right?
I totally agree.
The guys coming out of nowhere, there's just a different feel about it. It's not like the big, bad Yankees. And, you know, when Giancarlo Stanton, he's the guy that sort of represents what people don't like about the Yankees, and he hasn't been around.
Which is why when he comes back, he better produce quick, or he's going to find himself drawing the sounds that A-Rod once knew.
Well, and you know what? He did beginning of last year. He did postseason last year. He was already at the beginning of this season in the small amount that he played. It's going to be louder than ever.
It'd be worse because of what this team has accomplished without him. And you come back and don't contribute.
Oof. I mean, just think about the world that the Yankees are living in. That there's actual fear out there that a former NL MVP, one of the biggest, baddest looking dudes who can hit the ball farther and faster than anybody in baseball could actually screw the thing up, right? I mean, that's the fear. It shouldn't be a fear, but that's actually a legitimate fear amongst Yankee fans.
It's a thought, though.
Yeah.
It is a thought.
And it shouldn't be, but it is. All right, it is Boomer and Geo with Jerry in for Boomer this morning.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.